Meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Oh no, totally forgot. Space entirely. This is the Freedom Fiends, podcasting live from Pod Bay 2A from Intergalactic Prairie Studios. And something about a locus ceruleus, we Fahrenheit your brain to a toasty and tasty 375 degrees. We're keeping a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it, Michael? Is it working?
Yeah, you just rode your tauntaun in from Hoth to meet me here at Intergalactic Endor Studios, didn't you? May the 4th be with you, whatever that means.
You know, they say that frostbite starts with the extremities, but not me. For me, frostbite starts with the locus ceruleus inside my brain, causing me to say weird things.
It does. And
may the 4th be with you.
You said
the connection, Hoth. Of course, Hoth.
You said
we should
podcasting
talk about Star
live.
Trek, the whole show.
You can't podcast live. By definition, podcast is asynchronous transmission. But this will be podcast.
Well, you know,
later.
By definition, all reality is non-simultaneously apprehended. Live is a misnomer.
A socialist and his feet stink. Barack Obama is a liar. A socialist and his feet stink.
Yeah.
Latency in every communication, even face to face.
No, there's not. What, the amount of time it takes your brain to process?
The amount of time it takes light and sound to arrive is different. The
That's
amount
bizarre.
Of time it takes one per. It's
I never
true,
thought
though.
About that.
Yeah, but it's true. Reality is non-simultaneously apprehended.
An archo communist Sicilian have the logic of tiny, small, little, girly man children. An archo communist Sicilian have the logic of tiny, small, little, girly man children.
She needs a name. Can we name her?
Oh, she has a name. It's Sangeeta.
Sangeeta. That's a good name.
Yeah. You know, ever before we get into you drawing Muhammad live on air. I don't even have an opinion on Islam. You're a Muslim and you're going to get me killed tonight. I know it. You are far more of a punk than Glenn Beck. I heard him talking about that whole situation tonight.
Yeah.
You're such a punk, man. You're a punk. And you know, Twitter is so Drew thinks Twitter is where he should be a punk, right?
Yeah, and punk is, you know, and it kind of is, to tell you the truth. Drew's not wrong on this front. There are people who specifically go to Twitter just to troll people, but that's not what everyone uses it for.
All right, so I absolve him. I accept his apology. I got into it with Drew. I just don't get it when, like, okay, see, the Bitcoin Not Bombs Twitter feed, like, it's you and him, but it's really just him, right?
Yeah, I'm more the Facebook guy. He's more the Twitter guy.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, I really hate when there's more than one person who share like an email address, which is weird because the Freedom Fiends Facebook page like kind of has like 20 people posting, or no, like 7 people are authorized to post on that, which is kind of weird because it ends up looking like a schizophrenic person arguing with himself sometimes.
Yeah, that's weird. And the Facebook settings are strange because you can't always post as yourself. Sometimes it automatically has you post as the group, and you're like...
So, like, Lou and I will be arguing about something and not even noticing that it's coming up as, like, Freedom Fiends Podcast and Radio Show says... And then Freedom Fiends Podcast and Radio Show says, no, you're wrong. And, so Drew...
See, that's what frostbite and the locus ceruleus looks
does.
Like.
It does. So... I don't know. I guess I took it too seriously, but I don't like people being a punk at me. I don't like what I call like locker room talk. I don't like, you know, like dude talk, like men insulting men to show their friendship. I never got it. So when it happens to me,
I don't
like,
really get that one.
I'm like, who the hell is this? Who's doing this to me? And I don't understand it, but I gotta say,
my go-to comedy routine is the straight man. I like to pretend I don't get jokes because I find it funny. So that's often my response to people when they tell those sorts of jokes.
Tommy, your hair's getting kind of long. How are you liking having long hair?
It's grown on me.
Yeah, like that. So, but you have to not laugh. So that's the thing. So
I can't not laugh on the Fiends. This is my hot tub time.
I know. This is my hot tub time. Yeah. So,
no straight men in the hot tub. No homo.
What? So I am stroking with my thumb, literally stroking this Freedom Fiend silver dime card from like 4 years ago that,
Drew, that's how we met.
And I've been meaning to talk about this, do some visual humor on the radio here for about which is a joke that came up at Porkfest. I was, Ian Freeman was tripping. We were doing a panel discussion, Freedom Fiends, at O Dark 30. And yeah, and I was doing visual humor on the radio. And Davi Barker said, sitting next to me, like we're actually in the same room. We've actually met. People don't know that. We've actually, all the fiends pretty much have met once. I said to Davi, you know, Davi said to me, you can't do physical humor on the radio. So,
well, you were like putting yourself on timeout and like sitting in the corner. The audience couldn't see the corner.
I had my nose.
The host has left the mic. That's the joke.
Yeah. I wasn't in the corner. There was no. I had my nose against the wall, like you know, like they make you do when you don't have a corner. When you're in a Jesuitic dome and have to stand in the corner.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like when Buckminster Fuller gives you a timeout, you just put your nose against the wall. But it worked. It was a good show. I listened later, but I was there, so maybe it wasn't good. I don't know. But so I'm playing with this dime card. It's explain what a silver dime card is.
Little known fact: most U.S. currency, and especially dimes, I know for sure before I think 1968. 64, thank you. They still contain like 97% silver or 94% silver or something. Look at me mixing up my facts. Anyway, old U.S. currency is still made out of silver, and it's still a lot of it in circulation.
No, it's not.
So rather than, you can find it from time to time.
I have not found it in a long time, but I got to say, I was born in 1964, so like, you know, when I was bumming nickels and dimes off my dad to go buy candy, you know, it was like 1968, 69, and there were a lot of them still in circulation then. And I remember my dad saying, if you find any dimes before 1964, keep them. They're worth more than a dime.
Yeah, they're worth like $3.50 right
now. Yeah, that was a long time ago. I mean, they were worth like, I don't know, 50 cents then, but, you know, it was that was like $5 now.
So what dime cards are, this was in the wake of the Liberty Dollar getting raided by the FBI.
Oh, is that what inspired
and their
it?
Charges were, yeah, their charges were that they looked too much like U.S. currency.
A lot of the
silver bugs at the time were like, well, then we need an alternative. And there were all of these different alternative silver currencies that erupted. But the way that Drew solved it was, hey, if you're going to get mad at us for using U.S. currency, we'll just use the, or for not using U.S. currency, we'll just use U.S. currency. You can't get mad at me for having a U.S. dime, but what he would do is he would laminate them, and in the laminate information, he would put the silver content and like QR codes about where you could go and see the current spot value of silver. So on the back side, they're all the same.
Derek Slopey made some software for Windows Phone, which no one uses. No one has
Windows
Phone.
Yeah, what's this coin? It's called whatsthiscoinworth.com. Yeah. It's a website too.
Yeah.
And then on the backside, I did art for all these different things, and so they were all sort of Liberty memes. That's why they call it Don't Tread on Meme.
Yeah.
And we did clients too, so people use them as, we called it the business card no one throws away.
Because it's worth $4.50. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was how Drew and I met. That was how you and I met. And that was my first sort of serious alternative currency project.
And you didn't like me. You were
difficult to work with. Demanding and intolerant. And
I really am. Yeah. You were like, who is this guy bothering me, man? He's like so forceful. And I'm like, no, it has to be done this way. Do it this way. And it's just like, it's how I work. But, you know, you like working with me now, don't you? Has it gotten easier?
Yeah, it worked out.
Has it gotten easier?
Yeah, it has. We've learned a rapport now. We can communicate, and art kind of flows in the middle of talking now.
I know. And you're busy. Are you busy drawing Muhammad?
I'm looking for an art. I'm looking for doing an Archo Mexican wrestler.
Well, you know, there's that meme going around that's kind of like, I don't know. There's the ANCOM and the ANCAP one, like the red and black one, and the yellow and black one.
Oh yeah,
you know,
put him in a Mexican wrestling mask.
Yeah, he already kind of looks like a Mexican wrestling mask. What is that meme? I don't know what that is.
I have no idea, but I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's one that sort of looks like you. Have you seen the one that's like a bunch of ANCOMs in line to buy like Smash Capitalism shirts from an ANCAP?
No, but that is a joke that I made.
Yeah, I figured
that
was
the way
you.
That we advertised the first generation of Bitcoin Not Bomb shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what they say.
An archo communist Sicilian have the logic of tiny, small, little, girly man children.
Yeah.
It's true. It's entirely true.
You know, it's kind of funny. Like, this is really going to encourage me to like reuse things to kind of become like running jokes, because I'm not even going to say what interface I'm using to do this with, because it's my secret and it works really well. And I don't, not that it's intellectual property, but I want to like have people have to work at it if they're going to copy it. So, because sure. I like the voices on it, you know, it saves like a list of what you've made it say before. So I can just call things up. It's really, I don't have to retype them.
You got to get it to the point where you have pre-recorded versions of things in your own voice so that you don't have to speak anymore. You just say the sort of familiar commentary.
Yeah, I
survived for a whole month with nothing but a pre-recording of my voice saying yes, no, and I was about to say that.
were you doing some kind of meditation, or was it a medical issue?
No, it was a meditation. I was taking an oath of silence, but you know, this was when Build-A-Bear first came out, and they made those little pre-recorded voice boxes that you could put things on.
The Build-A-Bear group.
So I stole three voice boxes out of these Build-A-Bear stores. And I made one say yes and one say no and one say I was about to say that. And then I was ready for a month-long oath of silence, and I did just fine.
You know, the thing you have to understand if you thought I was demanding to work with is, like, I basically look at everything as, like, the goal is to get, like, the media on a hard drive and to get the project out in the world. And, like, people's feelings aren't really apparent in it. And that's not a cold calculating thing. It's like a workflow thing. It's like a... Wait, people are just what gets in the way of this process. The best example I can give you of this, okay, you know who, who's the guy from Requiem for Dream, the cutie boy that has a rock band?
Jared
Leto, yeah. So he's like a movie star, right? And like most filmmakers in LA would want to meet him and interview him. So we're interviewing him. We go through his agent and get him to agree to be interviewed for this Hubert Selby movie I'm making, because, you know, he met Selby, worked with Selby on the both filmmakers that made movies out of his books, Last Exit Brooklyn and Requiem for Dream, like had him on set, which is weird. They don't usually have the novelist on set because they get in the way, but they respected him so much they had him on set. So he was like hanging out with the actors. So, you know, Leto met him. So I interviewed him about it, and it was like, you know, the lady got back to me and she said, okay, there's two ways we can do this. You can either fax me the questions and I'll have him answer them today and send you a tape, because he's sitting already in front of a camera for a thing for Alexander, for a junket, or you can come by next week and interview him. Most filmmakers would be like, oh, I want to meet him. And I'm like, no, I want you to do it for me and send me the tape. So I never met
her.
Get it done, man. That's what I did.
Hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his Porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com. Yeah, I was winging
too busy
it.
Doing something to do talk radio?
Yep. The website is FreshHellSeries.com. Go and check it out because it is hilarious.
Yeah.
I was just talking to the audience. Don't worry.
That's my audience. You can't talk to them without me.
Okay. It's but alarms audience. Would go off.
I think Sangeeta could talk to them.
An archo communist Sicilian to have the logic of tiny, small, little, girly man children.
Yeah.
It's true. I've seen it. What are we talking about? I don't even remember.
Oh, drawing Muhammad. Okay, so that's Sangeeta. I called her Sangeeta, and this one is the only other one I like. I'm calling this Mike from marketing.
These damn kids and their bats today. These damn kids and their bats today.
Bats? Wasn't it tubes? No, what was it?
Tails.
These damn kids and their tails today.
Yes. So I have this little talisman of my love of my friendship with Davi No Homo, of this this FDR fascist dime embedded in this Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom dime card. You know, I gave one of these to my dad. And he looked at the back of it and he's like, it said something about Muslim agorist on the back. And he's like, what's that?
Oh, yeah, because my design tag is on
Muslims there. Are horrible. He tried to tell me that, you know. I don't know. I always figure that, like, when my friends are religious in some way, they're just going through a phase. Except for Randy England, because he's over 60. If you're over 60 and you're still whatever religion you are, I'll believe it's not going through a phase.
Well, I'm coming up on a decade now, so it's been quite a phase.
I'm coming up on a decade with my wife this year, so that's quite a phase. I'm digging it. Yeah. But you're drawing Muhammad, aren't you?
Ugh. Not exactly, unless that's the secret identity of Anarcho, the Mexican wrestler.
Anarcho. It's Anarcho, remember?
Anarcho, that's right.
Yeah, well, the Mike from marketing says Anarcho. See, listen, we'll... Here we go.
Anarcho-communists are silly and have the logic of tiny, small, little, girly man.
But Sangeeta says it right.
Anarcho-communists are silly and have the logic of tiny, small, little, girly man children.
Yes, Anarcho. Anarcho, the Mexican wrestler. The strongest wrestler in the world, asterisk Mexico. Actually, no, we're going to make it some imaginary tiny town in Mexico. I said Rancho Relaxo, but then we decided it was going to be Nada Vista because the Fabulous Free Freak Brothers live in San Francisco. Well, actually, you don't even know they live in San Francisco. I think they live in Freakton, but they live in something that looks very much like San Francisco. On the corner of Nada Vista and Trash View, which is the corner of No View and Trash View, which is, I think, everywhere I lived in San Francisco. That's got to be.
That might be most of San Francisco.
Nah, it depends how much you're paying for
it. So what does Anarcho look like?
Anarcho communism not even once. Anarcho communism not even once.
What's that? What does Anarcho look like?
Yeah.
He's a Mexican wrestler with, I think he should be a really skinny, ineffective Mexican wrestler with dreadlocks and a red and black head. A red and black costume and a shirt, a bodysuit. He should be kind of plump, kind of like Nacho Libre.
A fat Mexican wrestler.
Yes. And then his shirt should say, not Muhammad, in parentheses. You laughed pretty hard during the break when I told you that. Laugh as hard as you did during the break when I said that.
This is what, I don't know if I can.
This is why I have to.
I don't know if I can fake it.
I need a recording of you laughing. You know, I have actually added a laugh.
You probably
track.
Have dozens of recordings.
I do.
Of me laughing.
I do. I actually have. I used to have some with Nima, and I have some with you. I don't have them with all the other fiends, but because sometimes you and I get into such a like trance of back and forth on the radio that we forget to laugh at each other's jokes, even when they're funny. So sometimes I just put in you laughing to one of my jokes when I edit the show.
We're not supposed to tell people that.
I know, but it's a teaching. It's a teaching hospice, and I have a tube up my nose, so I can tell people that.
Yeah,
that might not be right
so,
forever.
I've done comic strips of myself, and in the comic strips of myself, I give myself a beard and a turban. And so just to make sure not so that there is no confusion, I put this comic book character in a t-shirt that says not Muhammad with an arrow pointing at his face. And so I've been thinking I should get this t-shirt. I should wear this t-shirt just so there's no confusion and nobody's ever like offended. Because they're indistinguishable. If you didn't say that it was a Muhammad cartoon, then it's just an Arab cartoon. And they're often like they don't look anything like the descriptions of him anyway, because you know they like to pretend. I don't know, like honestly, the like offensive Muhammad cartoons that people draw look much more like the offensive Jew cartoons
they used to draw in Germany.
Look
exactly like the what's that book that was written, what is that anti-Semitic book written in Germany in the
Mein Kampf?
No, before that it was like the secret plans of the Jews.
Oh, the elders of the protocols of the elders
Zion.
Of Zion.
Yeah, it looks like drawings from that, which is
was that illustrated? I didn't realize that was illustrated.
But actually there was
those sorts of political cartoons.
There was a rude cartoon of John Stewart one time and he said it looked like a drawing from the protocols of the elders of Zion. You know, there was a movie made of that, a documentary film, and I actually shared a limo from Deauville to Paris with the woman that was the producer on that. It was kind of interesting. Long story.
Interesting.
We're in the same film festival together, but yeah. Oh, we're out.
Getting our satellite signal back.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Anarcho, the strongest wrestler in all the world. Anarcho, the strongest wrestler in all the world. An Acho, the strongest wrestler in all the world.
All right. Yeah. Whatever.
Barack Obama is a liar.
It's true.
A socialist, and his feet stink.
Yeah, I think I'm done with her for now. I think I'm going to go back to Mike from marketing.
Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Yep. So Davi is trying to get us killed here. He's making a Mexican wrestler named Anarcho, who's a left communist, you know, the bad kind, left and communist, both the bad kinds of anarchist. And
is he a left anarchist? I didn't realize.
Or do you want to make him a? Maybe he should be a anarchist without adjectives.
He's neither. He's a wrestling anarchist. That's what he is. He's an anarcho wrestler.
He's an anarcho feminist. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So he's making that, and then he's copying some other. Hey, Dobby, turn down your headphones a tiny little bit. I'm getting that echo, and this is a teaching hospital.
Yeah.
He's going to get us killed because he's like sort of using other Mexican wrestlers as source material, and they will kill you probably more likely than drawing Muhammad. But then he's putting on the guy's chest, "I am not Muhammad," right?
Yeah. Just, I don't want to offend it. I want everybody to know,
you know,
that he's not.
I don't really know much about Islam or why anybody would kill someone for drawing Muhammad, but does the fact that you can't make you want to do it? It kind of makes me want to do it, and I can't even draw.
It makes me want to troll people. I like to be more clever in my trolling.
Like not Muhammad?
Yeah, like the because it's such a ridiculous thing to be upset about. You know, South Park really trolled this topic better than anybody I've ever seen in my life. Did you ever see the Muhammad cartoon South Park episode?
I heard about it. Didn't they get death threats over it?
They did get death threats over it, and they did censor the episode over it. But here's the thing. Muhammad was never actually in the cartoon. It was like Santa Claus or something, or it was a bear suit. It was like Tom Cruise is holding South Park hostage, and he wants to see Muhammad, or he's going to kill everyone. And they're like, oh, how do we do that? And they like drive him up in like a U-Haul truck. It's like, Muhammad's in the U-Haul truck. And you hear this like knocking inside the U-Haul truck, but you can't show him. And then when he comes out, he's in a bear suit, and it's this giant like mascot bear suit. And like you hear muffling inside the bear suit, but they can't show him. And so for like a whole episode, there's this gag of like, how do we show Tom Cruise Muhammad without drawing Muhammad?
Yeah.
And then there's a to be continued. And in the next episode, you find out it was never Muhammad in the bear suit. It was never Muhammad in the U-Haul truck. And it was like a terrorist attack from the Gingers or something like that.
The Redheads.
And it was just the Redheads. Yeah. Because they don't have souls in South Park.
I kind of like this. I just saw a meme that I really love. I don't know if I agree with this sentiment 100%, but it says, a socialist sees a rich family with a big house and thinks nobody should have that much. A libertarian thinks everybody should have that much. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a libertarian thinks everybody should be able to have that much if they work for it. And the government doesn't take it all away from them. Yeah. Not that everyone should have that much, because that sounds like magic ponies with powered on unicorn farts will make it happen.
Not everybody wants that much. People have a diversity of priorities.
Yeah. You know, whenever I see a big house in a neighborhood next to another big house, I think I would rather have a smaller house with a bunch of land between me and other houses. But that's just me. That's just because otherwise you get children in your yard. And as Katie said last night, famously on the Freedom Fiend, she said,
they're stinky and they ask questions.
They're sticky. She said, I don't like children. They're sticky and they ask me questions. And that became, you know what I'm really good at? I'm not that good at coming up with things. I'm really good at seeing the diamonds in the rough that fall out of other people's mouth on the ground that they would just sweep away and not notice, you know, like with you. Sure. And with Katie, like the, I hear the t-shirt and say, hey, that should be a t-shirt right there. So, yeah,
sure.
Children are sticky and they ask me lots of questions, and that's not an anti-children thing. I, you know, children are fine, but somewhere else with other people, not me. Cause they're sticky.
You know, It's here's the thing. That was in the context of her essentially saying she didn't want to have children, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you can't deal with sticky and questions, you shouldn't have children. And not everybody should.
Yeah, somebody who has children saw that meme and said, those are the reasons I like children.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. The asking questions bit, I would love to sit and answer why for an hour with a kid.
Why?
I don't know about sticky, but yeah.
So how's drawing Muhammad and Archo going?
It's pretty good. I found a good kind of base character to base him on. And I'm working diligently.
I really wish some leftist who hates white privilege would hear this show and try to boycott us because we're drawing Muhammad and then find out that you're a muzzy.
Well, I'm not, though. It is precisely the opposite. I am drawing not Muhammad. No, I am. I'm Muslim.
Muzzy.
But I'm drawing not Muhammad. I'm drawing Anarcho.
So learn how to say it, man. The Indian lady. You got to say it like the Indian lady. Now, here's the thing. People are going to see this and like it, and they're going to mispronounce his name. They're going to think it's Anarcho. But the cool kids, the ones that listen to Freedom Fiends, are going to be like, no, it's Anarcho, man. And someone's going to say, how do you know? And they're going to say, because that's what Michael's Indian robot lady says it like. You know?
Yeah, right.
Anarcho-communism, not even once.
Oh, Mike from marketing gets that one wrong. He really does. Sangeeta gets it right.
Anarcho-communism, not even once.
Yeah, Anarcho.
I don't really know what else to say. I think I've said all that I can say about the Muslim cartoon thing. But here's the thing. The first Muhammad cartoons were drawn by Muslims. Like, there's all kinds of, like, historical art. This is the thing. So, okay, technically speaking, Islam is an aniconic religion, and you're not supposed to depict not just prophets, but living things.
Well, Christianity,
so they should also be offended.
And Judaism are too, aren't they? Like, have no graven images? Isn't that
Judaism
commandment?
It is a commandment. I don't think there's any denomination of Christianity that actually takes that to the point of not depicting living things or anything like that.
It's not in the Quran, right? It's in something scholars said later to not draw Muhammad.
Yes.
We need Will for this. You don't know. You don't know.
I can't imagine that being in the Quran because it's so specific. The Quran is very rarely that specific.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. Muslims don't freak out when people draw Jesus in offensive ways. Muslims don't freak out when people draw, Moses in offensive ways, but those are prophets in Islam. So like, what's with the double standard? Like, and so this is the thing that always gets me is they're not offended that somebody drew Muhammad. They're offended that somebody insulted them. It's a pride thing going on. It's not a religious outrage thing going on.
Let me ask you would someone who's incredibly insulted at someone drawing Muhammad be more insulted at you drawing Muhammad than Pamela Geller drawing Muhammad?
That's an interesting question.
It might be. Apostate. You punk. So someone just retweeted one of my tweets. I really like this name. I thought it was something someone made up as a reference to Anarcho, but this person has 579 followers, so I think they've probably existed since before the show started. Someone named Anarquisto, A-N-A-R-Q-U-I-S-T-O, Anarquisto retweeted me. I really like that.
That's pretty cool.
Like, it sounds like Anarcho's half-brother. In the mythology.
It's kind of like the anarchist conquistadors.
Oh, Kenny says he loves barbecue, boxing, and libertarians. So maybe he's a Mexican boxer instead of a Mexican wrestler.
There you go.
Because boxing is real and wrestling's not generally, or some wrestling.
Is it not real? I don't know.
Mexican wrestling's sort of real, but it's sort of not. It's really not, but it sort of is.
I just recently learned that most of the attraction to pro wrestling is the backstory, not necessarily the fighting. I remember being like arguing with people when I was a kid about like, this is totally fake. How can you not see that this is fake? And I just recently learned that was not the point. The point isn't that it's real or fake. The point is the drama. It's like a soap opera.
Yeah, it's like saying like, oh, things that happen in movies aren't real. No, you like movies because they're good. You know they're not real. Well, yeah, Nima Vadadi said that when he was a kid, he really liked the Iron Sheik because he's Iranian and it was the only Iranian on TV. It was the only hero.
Sure.
But it's funny because Sheiks are not Persian. They're not Iranian. They're Arab. But it was, you know, like they got it wrong. Like some white person named him early on, you know.
Those languages are so close together. There's a lot of overlap. I wonder if they have the same word. Was the character supposed to be Persian?
I think he's supposed to be Arab, but the actor or the man who is the Iron Sheik is from Iran.
Okay. Yeah. Well, cool.
Anarquisto. Anarquisto and Anarcho. Yeah.
Maybe that's his secret identity.
Anarcho communism, not even once.
I wonder how she would say Anarquisto. Let's find out.
How do you spell Anarquisto?
Anarquisto.
Anarquisto. That's what that sounds like.
Anarquisto.
Anarquisto, she says.
Anarquisto.
Anarquisto, I would say. Yep. She's pretty cool. Yeah. So how's not Muhammad coming there?
Pretty good.
Yeah. So you want to talk about, did you want to talk more about people drawing Muhammad? So Pamela Geller is a liar, a socialist, and her feet stink, but.
Yeah, she lies about me. How? Have I ever told you this story? She put up a blog post accusing me of conspiracy to murder someone.
Like you, Davy Barker, right?
Yes, me, Davy Barker.
Really?
So yeah, this was years ago, like 2007, and there was some girl in Ohio who converted from Islam to Christianity and sort of ran away from home and showed up in a pastor's house in Florida, because it's always Florida, and said that her dad had threatened to kill her for apostasy out of Islam. And then you like look into the girl's background and she's like a cheerleader and she's like she looks like a regular old American girl. And so I did some research on like all her videos and things, and I posted a video, and all I said was, look, if you look at the way this girl tells the story, it's different every time she tells it, and it gets more extreme every time she tells it. And she doesn't actually start saying anything about apostasy or death or anything until long after she's out of her house. And Pamela Geller responded with a blog post saying that I was conspiring to murder this girl with her brother.
I'm looking at you on PamelaGeller.com. Man, she found a Islamic looking picture of you. A blurry Islamic looking picture of you.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Meow!
Bark, 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 bark. The fox says, what does Muhammad say?
What?
What does Muhammad say?
He says lots of things. Is this a joke?
There's a lot of guys named Muhammad. It's like being named Jesus if you're Mexican, right?
It's the most common name in the world.
And the most common last name is something Asian, right? It's like Chang. So Muhammad Chang should be
Wong?
The most. Yeah, Muhammad Wong should be the most common name in the world. So Rivka Berry, you went to bat for this little girl. Now, she's a resident of Sri Lanka.
Well, sort of.
You know who else is Sri Lankan?
I tore her apart because her story is BS, but I did go to bat for her in the sense that I said this should not be a trial. She's 17 years old. She should be emancipated and allowed to leave her home if she wants to leave her home. The court shouldn't force her to go home. But
Anarquisto is following me on Twitter now. I think he's listening to us. I think he's stalking us.
It's entirely possible that there are some people listening to us.
I basically feel that anybody listening to us is stalking us, and I want them to stop.
Cease and desist.
I forget there are people listening, and I want them to stop immediately. I'm creeped out that we have fans. That's so weird. I don't like it. Don't write us either, or me. Don't write me. So, you know who else is Sri Lankan is MIA, that rapper we talked about last week. She was born in London, but raised in Sri Lanka.
I lived in Sri Lanka for a while.
During the Sri Lankan Civil War. And her dad wasn't a Tamil Tiger, but he was a founding member of the Elam Revolutionary Organization of Students, a political Tamil group associated with LTTE, which is the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Elam. That's the Tamil Tigers, right? And
I am not sure.
Which is a Hindu group, and she's Hindu, but I think they actually worked with Muslims, or did they kill Muslims? I can't even tell anymore. I don't know.
I think so. The talking point is that Tamil Tigers in Sri Lanka kill Muslims, but I mean, I don't want to generalize. It's entirely possible that there are also Tamil, Muslims, you know. Yeah, I mean, why not? So I don't know. I don't know the history well enough to know.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend, like a guy that used to play in a band with my roommate, who was actually on like an execution list of the Tamil Tigers. That's kind of weird. Do you know anybody that's on the execution list of the Tamil Tigers?
No. So what is the Tamil Tigers like a group, like a political party, or is it like a cult, or is it like a gang? Like,
I think it's
how do you conceptualize these things?
They're, you know, freedom fighters or terrorists, depending on whose side you're on, I guess. They were people that wanted to be left alone in their own country and took up arms to do so. They're not very well known, but outside, you know, in America, like most Americans don't know who they are. But the reason my friend was on their hit list, like they had pictures of him and his family and stuff, and like his address on some website of like marked for death. It was because he worked for the World Bank. It was a friend of mine that like was an economist for the World Bank, and you know, had done things like had done globalism in Sri Lanka. He did globalism, and they didn't like it.
Oh, so, yeah. Globalism. Well,
that, you know, the thing that the ANCOMs hate. You know, we were talking about how the ANCOMs used to be all smash the state, and now they're all smash capitalism. I think that's because ANCAPs are winning the war of words of owning the word anarchist, you know?
Well, I mean, it makes the most internal sense.
Because they don't believe in property, but they believe in intellectual property that they own the term anarchist.
Well, they get all mealy-mouthed about the word property because they believe in personal possessions, but I can't seem to get them to define the difference between property and possession.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well,
appealing to a particular kind of lack of maturity.
30 years ago, when I was hanging out around ANCOMs, just because that's what there was, they were very smash the state. They were smash capitalism, but they were very smash the state. But the thing was, like, I'd never even heard the term anarcho-capitalist back then. It wasn't a thing. You know, I mean, they existed, but it wasn't a thing because of the internet. And it's kind of taking it over. And I know that Mark Edge hates the word anarchist and says they can have it and says it's like fighting over who gets to own the word child molester. But I disagree. I like the word anarchist. You know, if you're going to be small government, why not be so small government that you... What is it you said about physics?
It's theorized about by particle physicists.
Yeah. We'll be back for hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends. Riding a Tamil tiger across Hoth. Oh, boy. With pictures of Muhammad for all the children. Man. Ugh. Ugh. We're going to get in trouble. All right. Worms. Apostates against everything.
Worms.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Yeah.
Pamela Geller looks like the whore of the great Satan. Pamela Geller looks like the whore of the great Satan. Pamela Geller looks like the whore of the great Satan.
Stop that, Sangeeta. You should be multiculturally accepting of all your... of everyone. This is the Freedom Fiends. And where are we coming from? I'll let you know here. Yep. Tell us, Sangeet.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Iron Cannon, high top Financial Beast Plaza. On the artificial satellite LIPPAR 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPKIT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPKIT.org.
Yeah, it's true.
Pamela Geller looks like the whore of the great Satan.
Oh, stop that, Sangeeta. All right, so Dolly.
She's just jealous.
Yeah, Sangeeta doesn't, well, Sangeeta's 70. She looks pretty good for 70. And Pamela Geller's 67. She looks pretty good for 67. For being the whore of the great Satan.
Does she?
I'm kidding. So she said bad things about you, Davi. That's,
yeah, that's true.
I don't have enemies.
She didn't just say bad
like
things.
You.
She, like, accused me of things.
Bad
which
things.
Which were, Well, yeah, murder's pretty bad, you know, on the non-aggression principle spectrum of things, murder's right up there.
so she committed fraud.
Yeah, that's true. She did. I did not attempt to murder that girl.
What did you do? You said she was, what'd you say about her?
I wrote a blog Rifka post Berry. Where I first off, I said she should be emancipated from her parents. If she doesn't feel safe, then she should be absolutely free to leave. And then I said, but all of these videos where you're talking about the horrible things your parents are threatening you with are contradictory and irreconcilable. And I think you're being coached by this pastor in Florida that you've run away with.
Somebody just retweeted me and their Twitter icon says is a cross on a shield and it says, trust Christ or go to hell. That doesn't really speak to me to want to trust Christ, I think.
Ah, but should you trust them? That's really the question.
Yeah, I don't think I do. I think I'm going to delete that. All right. You know, the great thing about the internet is that you get to talk to people you'd never hear from otherwise or never know existed. And the horrible thing about the internet is you get to talk to people who you'd never know existed.
Yeah, see, it used to be that only governments could censor people, but now we can all censor each other all day long if we want to.
delete. Yeah. I'm old enough to remember like physical chain letters. Did you ever get one of those?
I did get a physical chain letter and I considered it for about 2 seconds and then promptly threw it away.
I was worried and then excited and then actually did it and wondered where my money was. Sent a dollar. Well, that was like 12. I sent like a dollar each to 10 people. Never got any back.
That's odd.
The government should have protected me from myself. Not really. So this girl, Rifka Berry, what happened to her?
Yeah, so here's the thing. She got wrapped up with this group in Ohio called Xenos Christian Youth Alliance Ministry or something like that. Anyway, the keyword is Xenos.
Hey, and she's over 20, which means she's alien. Over 21 now, so I'm not creepy saying she's hot. Just kind of
well, yeah, she was 17 at the time.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of her now. She's like 22 or something. So go on. Just kind of
and
she looks
so
like
this
MIA,
group,
actually. She's like younger. Do you know MIA is like
well, they're 40, both Sri Lankan.
40-something. All those Sri Lankans look the same. Yeah. MIA is really, really hot for her age, but go on. This isn't helping you.
So, th- So this group, the Xenos Christian whatever, was sort of known and had been sort of accused in other cases of taking people who had converted to Christianity in their group and then alienating them from their parents. And from their Muslim from Christians, from atheists, from anyone. So they were an evangelical. They were kind of a cult. And so when I looked into Rivka Berry's apostasy and I looked at the videos and the groups that she was associating with, well, she left Islam. I mean, that's all that apostasy means.
I'm just laughing.
She converted to Christianity.
People are so serious.
I said, hey, you know, maybe there's something more going on here in that the Christian group that she joined is not your run of the mill Christian group. It's this group that has like at least a dozen people accusing them of brainwashing their kids and taking them away. Yeah. And so I just pointed that out. And I guess the thing that got me on Pamela Geller's radar was I said something sort of maybe not judicious. And that is that I said, if the issue is whether or not the trial happens in Ohio or Florida, if the issue is that she's being protected from these people that want to kill her, then you should put her in a house that isn't easily found on Google. And that was just because I was, you know, part of my standard investigatory practice at Examiner was to Google all of the names and places in the stories and try to piece the puzzle together. And I found the foster home where she was staying. Ugh. Yeah. And so I was like, hey, you know, if her family was trying to kill her, put her somewhere. If you're claiming that you can't let her go to her home because she's in danger, put her somewhere they can't find her.
What was the trial, and so, by the way? Her parents used the courts to get her away from this Christian cult?
She was 17 and she ran away from home and was staying with this pastor in Florida. And then her parents wanted her back, and it was a custody issue, essentially. Where she was claiming that they were trying to kill her, and the trial was going to be whether or not that was a credible threat and the court should force her to go home. And I said, I don't think it's a credible threat, but I also don't think you should force her to go home. And that was the end of that. But so Pamela Geller decided to turn this into a story where her brother was trying to kill her in Florida and I was conspiring with her brother to track her down or something. And it's like, it's just made up out of whole cloth. But you know, for a person like at the time, this was 2007 or something like that. I was a brand new writer. This was maybe the first 10 blog posts that I had put in public. And suddenly I had like all the hate and all the ire of Pamela Geller's troll army coming down on me and threatening to kill me
since like 1996. And I've never hit it out of the park like that. You win. Yeah. I've also never been like stopped by the government and ended up in, what magazine did you end up with in for the Bitcoin?
Forbes. That one got Forbes and Business Insider. Yeah. For the Bitcoin TSA story.
You know, when you search Rivka Berry's name on Google Images, two of the first things that come up, one is a picture of Pamela Geller, and then another picture is a picture of Osama bin Laden.
Weird. I wonder why.
I don't know. Because they're the same person. I've never seen him in the same place. Pamela Geller and Osama bin Laden.
That's true. Yeah. Me either.
Yeah. All right, so go on.
I can neither confirm nor deny that Pamela Geller is, in fact, Osama bin Laden.
So are you done with this? You want to go on to...
I just like to... Whenever Pamela Geller comes up, I like to point this out because for me, it speaks to credibility, right? Like anybody that knows me knows that there is no way under the sun that somebody. I conspired to kill a 17-year-old girl in Ohio. But this is the story that Pamela Geller like runs to. She jumps to it, right? So she's got a knee-jerk sort of like, I'm willing to tell any bad story, facts
be
damned.
Did she make it up or did somebody send it to her and she just didn't check the facts?
Do you know? She says that she actually claimed that the brother tipped her off or something to that effect. But it was... I don't know. I don't know where it originated.
Why
because
would
when
someone
they say,
who wants to kill somebody tell her?
Oh, he was bragging to someone in his school who tipped her off, I think was the story at the time.
Okay.
But see, that's the thing. Like, the brother didn't even know I existed, so that's not a true story.
I really like this post, this tweet. The fact that she took a Facebook personality test tells me so much more about you than the test ever could.
Where's that from?
I don't know. Someone tweeted it. I like it.
That's pretty good. I like Facebook personality tests.
Well, that tells me a lot. It reminds me too of, I heard this thing one time, there are two kinds of people in the world. those who think there are two kinds of people in the world and those who know better.
My favorite of those is there are 10 kinds of people in the world, those that understand binary and those that don't.
That's good.
And there are two kinds of people in the world, those who can extrapolate a pattern from a single instance.
Ooh, that took a minute. Yeah, that'd be everybody on Fox News and CNN, I think. I like the one I've heard that kind of rings true to me is this is an old person one, but that you can learn more about anybody by asking them who their favorite member of the Beatles was than you could from hours of psychotherapy.
I don't know that I have a favorite member of the Beatles.
Yeah, you have to be old for this.
Well, I mean, I listened to the Beatles as a kid.
Mine is definitely John Lennon. And if you like John Lennon, you're a rebel, probably a punk who gets shot because he's a pacifist. All right, so go on. So you want to talk about this Father Gabriel from Walking Dead gets arrested for victimless crimes? I hate this
guy. Yeah, I mean, this is... I like the actor fine. I really think he's been... I hate the character, too.
You met the
and
actor.
Everyone hates the character. I met the actor in San Francisco, when he came to the convention. I really think he's been saddled with a character that he doesn't deserve.
No one likes. He's actually a really good actor. He is... This actor is... a main actor on The Wire, and he's great. He plays a cop, actually, on The Wire. He plays a really pricky cop who's into the war on drugs. But
in The Walking Dead, he plays Father Gabriel, who is this weird priest who is constantly either fighting with his own guilt or accusing people of being confederates of Satan. And
basically the preacher from... I think he's inspired by the preacher in Grapes of Wrath. He's the preacher who's lost his faith.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I don't know, because how do you accuse someone of being a tool of the devil if you've lost your faith?
Oh, you could still do it. He does it. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Actually, I think when he's accusing her of being a tool of the devil, I don't even know if he believes it. I think he just wants to have some control in the situation and figures he'll be believed because he has that little white collar.
But why turn on them is the point. Like, they've done nothing but take him in and protect him.
I don't know, because he's nuts.
So this is my take on him is that he's a kind of crazy that works in a comic book but does not work on a live action screen. Like, he's just too nutty. If that happened in real life, if somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, these people are agents of the devil and I'm the mayor of a town," that guy's going in a loony bin. He's not going to become my confidant.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth.
Davi breaks up a little bit once in a while.
He's on the edge of distortion. I turned him down a little bit about a minute before the last break.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
On the radio.
Hey, Adobe, work on your Photoshop text wraps because this is unacceptable.
Yes.
I'd be fine if it looked like hokey and weird, but it's actually illegible.
The price of Bitcoin is $235.01, and my oxygen level is 94%. That's with a tube up my nose for many hours. And
groovy.
Yeah. Without that, it's like 84. All right. So what are we talking about? Pamela Geller and how she is...
Pamela Geller
looks like
dead.
The whore of the great Satan.
All right, go ahead. You want to talk about this preacher I hate? I hate the character. I don't mind the actor.
So yeah, Seth, is it Gillian or Gilliard?
I don't know.
Seth something or other.
I don't know. I don't know the names of a lot of actors. I don't even know the names of characters in shows I like. But I do sometimes actually know the name of the showrunner. Most people don't even know what a showrunner is. But there's actually a documentary about showrunners. I sent you a link to that. Did you see that?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
It's pretty good. It's called Showrunners, The Art of Running a TV Show, and it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just proves my point that since the advent of digital filmmaking, eventually there's a documentary about everything. And I said that a bunch of years ago based on the fact that I discovered that there's a documentary with distribution on Netflix that's been in, you know, film festivals that I've heard of that's about, that stars my, that I didn't know about, that stars my old roommate. And it's about a parking lot I used to walk through every day in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Weird.
Yeah. How specific is that? I mean, it's basically about young people and the crappy jobs they take and how they deal with them. But it's all about people who are the attendants in a pay parking lot in Charlottesville, Virginia. And it's like, it's the parking lot that was in back of my house that I used to walk through every day to get to the store. And I'm like, wow, someone made a documentary about that parking lot. And it's called The Parking Lot Movie. Not to be confused with Heavy Metal Parking Lot, which is a much older movie about people in the parking lot of a heavy metal concert.
Well, is it like a real, like made-for-TV documentary, or is it like somebody's college project?
Somewhere in between. Okay. It has distribution. I mean, that's what you need to know about it. Like, it's on Netflix, and things that are crappy and, you know, made never to be seen probably aren't on Netflix usually. What's that noise?
Okay. The helicopters are descending to take me away, whoa. I think is what that noise is.
The black helicopters? Is it ISIS using the helicopters?
Wow, that's pretty low flying.
Is it ISIS coming to get you because you sort of drew Muhammad?
I just drew a guy with a beard, that's all.
They don't have helicopters. They have tanks, though, don't they? Didn't the U.S.
I have no idea what they have.
The U.S. gave them a bunch of tanks.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sure that was a good investment.
Yeah. All right, so you want to talk about Father Murphy? No, who is this guy?
His name's Father Gabriel. It's Seth.
It's got Gilly gay something. Right there in the name.
What's gay?
It's
what
got
now?
Gay right there in the name. You know, Lou has a new name for the post office. He calls it the Bureau of Losing $10 billion per year. I like that name.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because I mailed him.
I approve of this message.
I had a leftover laptop and I mailed it to him. Yeah, and it's like sitting.
So the point is, so he's been I don't know if this is going to interfere with the show. I hope that it doesn't.
Pamela Geller looks like the horn of the great Satan.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, like with all the fans paying attention to it right now, I think it's important to point out that they're all victimless crimes.
What do you get arrested for?
It's marijuana possession, it's speeding, and it's DUI. But I am willing to wager that the DUI is for marijuana, not for alcohol, which is not
proof too.
Well, yeah, but he was found with marijuana, so I'm willing to bet they just threw the charge at him. Yeah. Because, I don't know, I guess getting drunk and high at the same time works for some people, but that just doesn't strike
it's
me
just
as the norm.
It's a waste of both drugs.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can argue, I don't want to get in an argument about whether a DUI is a victimless crime. I get that it's dangerous and that a private road would probably ban such things.
Yeah, that's why I went on that one. I'm not as quick to defend that as a victimless crime as most people are, but I can't make a good argument that it's not, but the pot actually absolutely is. So go on.
So I just think, you know, it's interesting that like he's got a mugshot. He's like having his sort of reputation dragged through the mud. It may interfere with his schedule. It may interfere with his career.
Yeah.
And nobody was actually injured. Like, to me, that's like really that's the most relevant question when it comes to crime.
So do you feel like when that switch gets thrown and the world becomes libpair or libertarian paradise, do you feel like there should be Nuremberg trials for the drug warriors or just let them all go
be productive? I'm going to think about that during the break and give you an answer with absolute certitude when we get back.
Good. Good call.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Meow. Yeah.
It's true.
It's true.
Every word.
Yeah. So dumb.
What was I supposed to decide whether or not I want Nuremberg trials for drug politicians?
Warriors. Yeah.
So my answer is sort of. The problem I have with the Nuremberg trials is that they're centrally planned and they're a class action lawsuit. And I'm highly skeptical of both things.
Pamela Geller looks like the whore of the great Satan.
She called you fat, too.
Pamela Geller looks like the whore of the great Satan.
Well, to be fair, that was probably the truest thing in the article. So I believe that people should be free to claim a tort against anyone. Torts. Come the revolution.
Come the revolution.
And that will include...
You're still talking like a... That's left over from your 99% days, isn't it?
Yeah,
come
it
the
is.
Revolution.
No, okay, so come lib pair, everyone will be free to request or demand or whatever arbitration or a tort or some sort of mediation with anybody who they feel has harmed them and deserves the and owes them restitution of some kind.
Yummy.
And because that will not be a centrally planned structure, it will be atomized down to the individual, and many of those sorts of hearings will be individuals making claims against specific
that
bureaucrats.
That just sounds like a judge tied up in your trunk to me. That doesn't sound like any kind of trial.
Well, I'm not saying that won't happen. You know, like, a lot of people know who Judge Burke is, and I don't know what's going to happen
yummy
to him if
talks
the whole state
yummy
collapses.
Talks.
But it'll probably be a little chaotic for a while. That's, you know, how spontaneous order works. But centralized class action lawsuit against bureaucrats? No way. It'll just turn into a kangaroo court, and the court will make itself out to be a state.
Pamela Jela looks like Satan's call girl in an alley behind the fish factory.
Did she just call her Pamela J-Lo?
Jeller.
Pamela Jela looks like Satan's call girl in an alley behind the fish factory.
Yes. Oh, Sangeeta, what will you say next?
She's so crass.
Yeah, let's see if Mike from marketing can pronounce it correctly.
Pamela Geller looks like Satan's call girl in an alley behind the fish factory.
Yeah, he does it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a way, like, Pamela Geller reminds me in a sense of Molyneux. Like, she does this thing where she's got this, like, she's got this really radical perspective,
and
then she wants... And following, but then she wants to appeal to, like, mainstream conservative, and so she starts, like, throwing in other things that are not in her conventional purview. You know what I mean?
Like what?
Like the war on drugs. Like, her whole mission statement in life is Muslims are bad and should be, she won't say specifically because that would out her as some sort of hypocrite. But then she throws the war on drugs on her website. Like, what's that even
she
for?
She likes the war on drugs.
Yeah, but why? Like, if your whole blog and your whole mission in life is to badmouth Muslims, why is that even on your page?
Yeah, because Muslims agree. Muslims generally would like the war on drugs, wouldn't they? Well, they don't like drugs.
Yeah, well, they don't like drugs, but, I mean, I don't know. I think
Saudi Arabia likes the war on drugs.
Saudi Arabia likes the war on drugs,
and
that's true.
To people like Pamela Geller, Saudi Arabia is Islam, really, when it comes down to it.
Yeah, that's true. So I think the fact that Muslims also don't drink alcohol is sort of an inoculation against legislative solutions to drug use, because none of them are going to advocate prohibition again. You know what I mean? Like, they get that that is not a viable position. And so the fact that they personally abstain from one and don't ask for it to be illegal, like, sort of it prevents them from worrying about the others, if that makes sense. At least from a legal standpoint.
Anarchy is a judge and two lungs in your trunk arguing over where to go for dinner. You know, this friend of mine, this friend of mine, we're going to get in trouble. We're going to have like Muslims and the Department of Justice kicking in our door tomorrow. So
don't forget Mexican wrestlers.
Mexican wrestlers. That's just pitchforks and AR-15s and burning things in our front yards. So this friend of mine that was on the hit list of the Tamil Tigers, his dad was a federal judge, and he used to joke about having a duct taped tied up judge in his trunk. He used to make that joke to me all the time.
Okay.
Too soon?
I don't know, man. I don't get the joke. Like, that would just worry me. If somebody joked about having a judge tied up in their trunk, I would sort of like, it'd make the rest of the conversation uncomfortable.
Yeah, it would. I don't want to talk to that person. I'd block them.
But I do have a first draft I'm ready to send you.
All right.
So there's that.
Send me of Anarcho, who is not...
Anarcho, the strongest man in the world.
The strongest man in Rancho Relaxo,
Asterix, Nata Vista, Mexico.
Nata Vista,
Mexico. I made it Nata Vista.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, send it.
Nata Vista.
I'm working on it.
God, man. This mic for marketing can make anything sound really, really white.
Not a Vista.
Yes.
That's why he's in marketing. How do you know he's white?
Because
maybe he's Japanese. There's a picture of him.
Yes.
The robot voices have portraits.
Not a Vista is a nice place to go with my old frat brothers. Not a Vista is a nice place to go with my old frat brothers.
Yes.
There you go. What else did we have? We were going to talk about LeVar Burton.
And have some
fun. We were going to talk about...
To kill some hookers and have some fun.
What?
What else? We had some other show prep. We were going to talk about LeVar Burton and riots or something.
Oh, riots everywhere.
We kind of talked about riots. Riots everywhere.
Yeah. Last week we said idiots everywhere. This week it's riots everywhere. Who is LeVar Burton?
That's what happens when
I looked up LeVar Burton. I'm like, I don't know what that is, man.
LeVar Burton is the guy who played Geordi on Star Trek.
Okay. That means something to somebody, but not me. I don't know.
Not
man.
A Star Trek fan, huh?
This website has the same ads that Pamela Geller had on her ad. You know, well, yeah, I really think when you have
maybe
stupid
it's you.
Ads on your site, you just you lose all credibility to me. And when you have ads for clickbait sites, you lose all credibility to me. Yeah.
Maybe it's a plugin. Maybe it's based on your search history.
No, because it's not coming up on other things. It's It's these people are stupid. But all right, so tell me about LeVar Burton telling kids to, what's he tell kids? Stay away from cops.
Oh no, there's the clip. Well, I guess you'd have to have seen it. There was a clip where he was talking about dealing with police officers as an African American. And he says that what his mother taught him when he was a kid and what he does to this day, if he's pulled over by a police officer, is he rolls down his driver's side window and puts his hands on the outside of the door so that the police officer can see them. And he feels compelled to do this so as not to alarm or make the officer feel intimidated. And so there's this clip of him sort of speaking on a panel about this. And you have all of the African-American people on the panel kind of nod and say, yes, that makes perfect sense. And then the white guy on the panel was like, I've never heard of such a thing. That's so far out of my experience. I don't know what to make of it. And
yeah, I'm thinking about the last time I got pulled over by a cop, and it was I had a loaded handgun in the glove box, and the glove box was open, and I was in the passenger seat. My wife was driving, and I pointed out to the police officer. He asked for the papers, and I pointed out, I was like, officer, I want to point out that there is a, and he said, yeah, I see the gun. Just give me the insurance, you know, cause I didn't want to be reaching for a gun and be shot. Mm-hmm. So I'm smart that way. But yeah, I think the people on this panel would be like, you're crazy, boy, to drive around with a loaded gun in your open glove box. It wouldn't end well for them, it sounds like.
Well, I think that they would say it was because you were white.
Yeah, but they wouldn't do that probably, even if they had a gun. Oh, I like
it. I don't know. Like, I have a sense of like cultural differences across the country, right? But how much do those differences span ethnicities? Like, in California, the difference in interests between black and white people can overlap widely, right? Like in my old band, we had an African-American guitarist for a while, and he was the one who was into Nirvana and into like grunge bands.
You made
right?
Anarcho black not, and gay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Go I don't on. Know. All kind right. of making some presumptions, I think.
I think I am.
But like, I wonder like if him. In Louisiana, it's a more like stark contrast. If there's like Will Cooley calls himself a Tennessee redneck. Is a Tennessee redneck a different thing? Or is a Tennessee Caucasian a different culture than
know.
Tennessee African American?
The black guy in the Guns and Weed the Road to Freedom movie lives in Wyoming and is a gun guy and sounds, I mean, the things that come out of his mouth about the Constitution sound like, you know, any Peckerwood gun nut who's read a book. You know, he sounds eloquent. Okay. He sounds like what people expect, you know, white gun nuts to say.
Is he a libertarian guy?
Of course.
See, I think libertarianism erases this stuff.
Ah.
And that's because like deeper than just
well, he's a
the non-aggression principle,
libertarian, but you know, they exist.
Okay,
so it's part of the journey. It's a phase.
So there's an aspect of libertarianism which rejects collectivism and is individualistic, and I think that aspect of it, even if you don't get it from libertarianism, say you get it from some other philosophy, but I think individualism and the rejection of collectivism. It erodes and eventually annihilates that sort of insular culturalism, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
And this is why people can be shocked by the idea of a Muslim libertarian and then meet me in person and realize that I can hold a conversation with just about anybody and I don't have delicate sensibilities that they have to worry about offending.
Yeah. Or I just sent you something about CNN legal expert feels personally insulted by anarchist crowd saying we don't need cops. Do you see this?
No, but I don't care what a legal... I mean, if you're a legal expert, you should be there for your legal opinion, not your personal insults.
But you also shouldn't be shocked at a crowd agreeing with a speaker with a bullhorn saying we don't need cops. Because, you know, isn't that what democracy is? Isn't that democracy in action?
Sure sounds like it.
Yeah.
Mob mentality.
There you go.
That's right.
Yep. They've spoken. Get rid of the cops.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
All things of man will end. That sounds biblical.
It's true. It does sound kind of biblical.
You said
or at least like summer apocalypse blockbuster.
Yeah. Yes. Tagline, all things created by man will end. That was your redemption in the third act. You didn't quite say it like that. How'd you say it?
That is about how I said it. It's that any institution that's man-made is not permanent, but I like will end better.
Yes, will end.
Well, it's this woman is offended by the notion that somebody might say, we don't need police.
Wasn't a woman.
And what did I say?
You said this woman.
I said person?
You said woman.
Okay.
It was actually
she's
a
not
talk
a woman?
Show. And it was a Michael Smirmosh, Smirmenkosh, Spermkosh. It's a talk show, radio guy, I think.
Okay. But the point is like there is nothing magical about police that says that they will exist forever. It's like people who are upset about this recent like challenge to trample the flag in a YouTube video and like then you get the like counter challenge of like soldiers threatening people on YouTube for trampling a flag in a YouTube video.
I died it's for like your free speech. I died for your free speech, so I'll kill you if you use your free speech.
Yeah, there's nothing magical about the United States of America. It is like all man-made institutions, transient. So
it's a bum.
Or
it's a bum.
It's temporal.
It's transient.
So what I mean is, people people need to accept this about things, because when they're just getting upset for no reason. And this ties all the way back to Star Wars. People are upset because the Star Wars of their childhood is ruined by the Star Wars of their children's childhood.
That was one of the things in that documentary about showrunners. You know, showrunners are often writers as well as running the whole show. Not all of them are, but there was one who said that, like, the hardest thing he ever had to do was he worked on one of the later Star Treks, and he had to write the part where Kirk dies. He had to kill his childhood hero. That was part of his job, and it harmed him. Yeah.
I hear that about comic book writers from time to time. Oh. Like, most of the people writing current comic books are not the creator of those characters. They inherited X-Men. They inherited Avengers. And so when they make significant changes in those characters' storyline, it's like they're manipulating borrowed Play-Doh, right? Like, it's not their character to kill.
Like when they have to make Batman a gay female Muslim single parent.
Who's the gay female Muslim? Thor is female now. Cyclops is gay now.
Somebody's Muslim.
I think there is a Muslim character. Who is it? I don't remember. Marvel is doing this. Bat X-Men Boy. Is doing this now.
They're being inclusive. They're what's that called? Where people get jobs based on their race?
Diversity. They're diversifying the mutants.
The old term for, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Nope, don't. Right. Don't know. Diversity is the word I know.
Affirmative action.
Okay. Well, I mean, that was always the sort of like the metaphor diversity that the mutants were a vehicle for, but now it's sort of, it's explicit, you know? So
mutants were already teaching you to have diversity and accept people who are different because they're mutants.
Oh yeah, that was the Mutant Registration Act. A lot of X-Men. That's a thing in X-Men. A lot of the X-Men comic book is about the tension between mutants and the government. And a lot of it is sort of callbacks to Jim Crow and callbacks to segregation and callbacks to any sort of, you know, pick your discrimination, make it about mutants. It makes a good comic book. Huh. Yeah, that has always been a thing. And I guess this goes for discrimination too. Discrimination, prejudice, segregation, racism, slavery, oppression, they're all man-made institutions. And as such, they are not permanent. You know what I mean? They just because something exists now does not mean it has to exist in perpetuity.
Well, it's kind of like copyright. Like, you know, the idea that corporations can own a song or a movie, that was pretty much set in stone for like 100 years. And then Napster. And ever since Napster, that's still true on paper, but it's a lot less true in person. Because it used to be that, like, to share a movie, you know, you had to have like banks of VHS tape copiers and you had to like have someone standing out on the street corner. And now it's like every kid is sharing movies with every other kid in the world.
Extra, extra, tweet all about it.
That's funny. I like the new Anarcho. He will be our gay superhero.
Yeah.
Worms.
All the strongest man in the world of wrestling in Nada Vista, Mexico.
Yes. Anarcho. He's pretty special. Pretty good show, Dobby. Tomorrow night's... I think it's MK and Dan. I think the whole week's all Dan all the time. And then I'm on with Dan the next day.
I think the Greens are the only Fiends I haven't met in person.
Oh, you haven't done a show with them yet?
No, I've done a show. I haven't met them. We're not at Porkfest is my point.
Have you met Randy?
I don't know. You will be. Probably Randy. Not.
Worms.
Worms.